Fine. He's going on day 75.
Day 75.
That's Hashem on day 75. Fine, let's learn for Chutz Chaim. That's Hashem. So, Reuben Levi is going to be sharing the next 2 days. He's going to be continuing to spread. So, everyone should finish till the end of the parak on their own, or whatever, with Reuben Levi. Come back prepared with the next parak. Ready to start preparing the next parak by next month. Next month, after the Sukkot, starting the third parak with the bank. Stop preparing this. You ready, Rav?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, stop preparing. You gotta learn how to prepare for this year sometime. And it's with your Liz Brody.
I can do this when I sleep. Oh, wait a minute. I do do this when I sleep.
You do it forever. Fine. So now, Chaz Chaim says the following. Well, he says, sometimes we're speaking about Avak Lashonara. We're not speaking about something which is a dust of Lashonara, which what I'm saying is really nothing negative about what I'm saying, my speech. However, something negative may come out of it. Right? And that's still a form of Lashon Hara. The Chazal say in the Gemara, it says, most people steal, and everybody speaks Lashon Hara. So the Gemara says, what, you think every single person speaks Lashon Hara every day? He says, every day. Is that at least Avat Lashon Hara? At least every single person speaks at least the dust of Lashon Hara. Like we'll see now, which is very, very hard. Okay, we need Hashem to help us. That's what we have to die about. If we don't die, we don't work. If you're afraid that if you don't work, if you don't concentrate on these things, you're automatically going to mess up.
In the times that they did something like the people found
them not used to speak Lashon Hara. It says Avak Lashon Hara. Sure, Avak Lashon Hara. At least this type of Lashon Hara. We'll see. It's very hard to get away from, which is like this, which is about. What?
The origin of the people who were the big family, that's the difference.
Fine. So what are we saying? We're saying like this. We're saying that another example of where praise should.
They used to speak Lashon Hara too.
The question is, Hanan, am I allowed to tell somebody? Someone comes up to me for money. Say, oh, Hanan always gives a lot of money to tzedakah. Maybe go to him. He just gave me $10,000. Go to him. The guy says, you know where can I get a Shabbos meal? I say, oh, I was by that guy's house. I had a great meal. Ask him. That is a form of Avak Lashon Hara. Why? Why?
It's like all the people that take on, in LA, there's drivers who take all the people around. They're, you know, coming by the time short for money. And they'll take them to the same place, take them to the same house. Because that guy's going to give $18, so everybody knows to take.
Fine, that's another story. That's the driver's not fun. It's like, we also, they shouldn't. That's also, I don't, if you give me $18, I don't know. But let's say you guys say, you know, that it's like expected. But let's say we're here. And they have the same thing, I know. All over America, they have the driver, the set drivers, they get the set houses, they have it.
Right.
The deal is the same. The Russians come, they go to the driving around. Basically, like this. Basically, it's coming out like this. It could be a Avak Lashon Hara. I say, someone says, you know, I'm looking for someone to give me money. And I tell you, this guy gave me money. And then you, I say, Hanan gave me $10,000. Right? You come to me for a donation, I say, Hanan gave me $10,000. And now, you're going to go to Hanan and say, oh, you also should give me $10,000. So it could, and he's going to start pressuring, what do you mean? You gave that guy money. So it could be a Avak Lashon Hara. You could say the guy, I think, is worth it to go to him. But it could be a form of Lashon Hara and disfavor to Hanan by telling you that everybody, he gave me $10,000. Right?
Lashon Hara. If you give me $10,000,
and you tell your friend, also
my friend,
and he gave you $10,000, mm-hmm. Lashon Hara walks in, he's going to come and he's going to pressure him to get $10,000.
So,
it could be a form of Avak Lashon Hara. It's a speckle Lashon Hara. Because it's putting pressure on him, so you're causing Hanan a disfavor, Lashon Hara, you're causing the other person a disfavor. Correct? So here it's causing him a disfavor. It's causing him a disfavor. Or, someone said, where are you going to find the nice Shabbos meal? You could say, oh, maybe try him. To tell the guy, oh, I had a great meal by Hanan and this and that, maybe he doesn't want to have this guy over. Maybe this guy is messed up. Maybe he doesn't want to have him over. You know, he's not ready for Hanan's spirituality yet. He's not holding. So then, it would be Lashon Hara. He's not, he's gonna, you know, he's not at that level.
I don't understand why we do Lashon Hara.
Fine, if everyone had such a moon, it wouldn't be a problem. Because the other person is upset. The other person is going to come to Hanan, hey, you gave him that, now give me. If he had a moon, that's fine. But with other people don't have such a full moon. You got that? It's good? They were saying that it's a special. You could tell a guy, you could tell someone, answer where could I go? So maybe try that guy. So it might be a good idea. You don't have to tell him he gave me $10,000. You let him tell someone he helped me out, or maybe he's a good idea. But don't tell him he helped, you know, someone wants to shout us, you know, you don't have to tell him, oh, Hanan, let him help me. You go, say, it could be he's a good idea. You could guide them to the right way, but don't tell them. It's in the common heart.
Are there any guidelines that you can use to sort of like get away from the slippery slope of slipping into Lashon Hara without even realizing it?
Yes, talking to Hashem and asking him. Sometimes this person will never talk about people. That's first thing. And the second thing is the daven. You have to daven, it's going to help us. But try never ever to speak about the people. Like, right, like we read that story from the Chafetz Chaim, right? There was a bunch of group of, like, he was getting a ride, like a bunch of horse riders, I don't know. And he saw the guy Shmuzi. He told him, if you're talking about horses, then count me in. If you're talking about people, then count me out. That's what he told him. I don't talk about horses. Chafetz Chaim likes to talk about horses. Gotta talk about horses and talk about people. Try never ever to talk about people. That's the guideline. And that's a good guideline. Now, also, Chavis Chaim says that it's forbidden to live amongst people who habitually speak Lashon Hara. Imagine you gotta live there. That people always speak Lashon Hara. You can't live there. Find a new shul. It's hard. You're not allowed. He says, there's a Gemara that speaks about a case where a Rebbe stopped teaching a student because he spoke Lashon Hara. If the person is a student who's a Baal Lashon Hara, they can't stop him. The student, the Rebbe does not, the Rebbe shouldn't teach him anymore. But they bring that over here in the parentheses, he says it's not referring to when he was a small child. He wasn't a small child. He was already an older person. He said, don't teach him anymore. The Rebbe shouldn't teach him. It's halacha. If you have a Talmud who speaks Lashon Hara, stop teaching him. Shouldn't teach him Torah anymore. Such a bad iser. It's so contagious. It's such a person, he has a contagious illness. The guy is sick. He has a sickness. I'm sorry, I'd love to teach you Torah, but I can't. He has a contagious illness. Imagine. And the guy has a choice to stop speaking Lashon Hara. But the Gemara says, the person has stopped teaching the Talmud if he speaks Lashon Hara. Imagine? Now, if a person, we mentioned this a little bit earlier, if a person finds himself among a group who's speaking Lashon Hara, they're all chatting Lashon Hara, what should you do? So if you can rebuke them, you should rebuke them. Or, so now, let's say you can't rebuke them. So we said at least try to stop them from continuing the Lashon Hara. Right? At least they shouldn't increase the Lashon Hara. And rebuking is not easy. It's hard to feel self-righteous. At least also could try to defend that person. So the other guy you're speaking Lashon Hara could try to be hard. It's easier to try to defend that person or change the subject. It's much easier, but we've got to try to do what we can. You could always tell the person, the speaker, you can't possibly know the whole story. Therefore, she'd be the Alakav's close to the benefit of the death. Listen, Rabbi Yaakov, remember we're up to day 76. Hanan, you can remember that, put it in your
76?
File. We're up to day 76. We learned 75. You need to remember. We did
75. So we're up to 76 until you come back.
You can do it on your own at home.
My wife has that book.
Keep on going. Make a chavrusa with your wife. Day 76. So we're up to day 76. It's good to make a chavrusa. Yeah, fine. That's it. Now,
Where are we holding?
It's a very good question. Where are we holding? I don't know who we is. Every person in the street is holding a different place.
Is that good or bad?
It's good for Hashem. It's all good. Everybody's trying. It's good. Everyone's not just everyone's trying to do what they can. It's very good, I think. For their part. But for my part, I don't know what to do with it. Which we start.
This is a very complex suite. The whole thing is very complex.
So basically, we're going to go back into the studio.
Spend a week on, you know,
Fighter and Freddie can help us out understand it more, because I only like to make drawings. Maybe this time we'll invite you to draw the picture.
You've been invited.
He might be less. Okay, basically, well, we know the picture, basically. Basically, we're going to have the sugi, because this is the sugi we have in mind when we walk, go to Uma. You have to have Torah in your mind. We have this in our mind, we go in the airport, everywhere we go, just think about this Gemara. You can get this sugi clear, Chada, by the time Rosh Hashanah comes around. Getting there. It's a sugi. Basically, for me also, I need to learn this. Think about it today on the plane, this and that. Hashem's going to help me. Think about this sugi.
So, you'd be?
Your base, I'm an alpha, I'm a base. Basically, what happened over here? For Freddie, might as well go back again to the Tibor. For us weekly, we were still confused.
So yeah? 12A and 12B?
Yeah.
We're going to go back to Rava and the last two Terutzim were Rava and Ravashi. Understand what happened in their sugya. 12A, 12B, basically. It's all one big sugya. It's all the same. From the Mishnah 12A to the Mishnah 12B. I'm going to try to do now all in one shot with Hashem's help. Basically, we have a big issue. We have a problem. When you have a tree, do you save the tree, the trunk of the tree, halakhically follows the branches or not. Good. We have brises, this way, that way, mishnayis, tons of stuff flying all over the place. We have basically four different things. Our Mishnah, another Mishnah, two brises, going all over. Comes Rav Kahana and says, everything is beautiful. The top of your base on the base. Said, I have a brisa that tells me that there's Rav Yehuda, at least by Meister, I have an address that tells me, Rav Yehuda in the world of Meister says that you go after the branches. Meaning, if Rav Yehuda in Meister says you go after the branches, and the brisa only says Rav Yehuda, what does that mean, the Rabbana? Argue, Chana, is that true? The brisa tells you Rav Yehuda says you go after the branches. What does that imply? Everyone else says, you go after the location. If you're on the trunk, you're on the trunk. You don't follow the branches, Pelchas Maisa, which means, if I have my tree, which is inside Yerushalayim, the trunk, and the branches are outside. Nachon? My trunk is inside, my branches are outside. Correct? According to Yehuda, am I allowed to go eat fruits of Maisa on top of this trunk?
Yes.
No.
The trunk is
inside,
but my branches are outside.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. You cannot eat on the trunk.
You cannot eat the branch. I cannot eat on this trunk because I'm not in Yerushalayim now. You have to eat the fruits of Yerushalayim. I can't eat them. Fine. According to the Rabbana, am I allowed to eat my Maaser Sheni fruits on this trunk?
Yes, because yes. It's inside.
It's inside. You go by my location. It's inside. Good. So that's what we came. That's all we have clear. There's only concrete thing we have that is Rabbi Yehuda, which implies Rabbana art. Now. Come Rav Kahana, he says, I want to make a jump. I have Rav Yehuda by Meister, so logic would dictate, it's simple. So Ari Mikla also, there should be the same rule. You have a guy, you have a tree that the trunk is in the Ari Mikla, and the branches are outside, right? The trunk is in Ari Mikla, the branches are outside. But Rav Yehuda should say that tree is outside, because the tree follows the branches. Rabbana should say, you're inside, and therefore he cannot kill you. Good? Fine. Now, as he said, it's easy, so, and that would mean he would be the Tana of this, Yehuda would be the Tana of this Bryce we brought down the bottom when he made it out, which said, by Yerushalayim you go after the trees, and Ari Miklis go after the trees, after the branches. By Yerushalayim you go after the branches, and Ari Miklis. But Yehuda, and our Mishnah also, our Mishnah is that Ari Miklis you go after the branches, is Yehuda, everything is beautiful. That's what Kahana wants to say. Then why is that it's not so simple? Why? Because if you zoom in on the cases of Rabbi Yehuda, we only find Rabbi Yehuda was being strict. It comes out, why do we go through the cases? Rabbi Yehuda only said you file the branches for a string in a case where you're being strict. Which means like this. It could be, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm not really sure if the trunk goes where you are or is part of the branches. Right? Like this. Here's the punchline. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds like this. I'm not really so clear what to do in a scenario when you have a tree on one side and a branch on the other side. Right? But to be strict, I can tell you the trunk is like the branches. For example, right? I'm not really so sure if the trunk, Rabbi Yehuda said like this, I'm not really so sure if the trunk that's inside and the branches are outside, I don't know how to view this trunk. Should I view it inside, outside? So to be strict, I'll tell you, you'll be outside. Why do you be strict? So I'll be strict with you, tell you you can't eat your fruits on this tree. I'm in doubt if this trunk is considered inside or outside. So be stringent and make believe it's outside. Good? Maybe that's what we do this sentence case. Right? Or the other way. Or, like this, let's say your tree was outside and the
branches
are inside. So usually the halacha is if you're outside, you're still allowed to redeem your fruits. Right? So we just say, I'll be strict, and I'll tell you, no. You'll follow your branches, and you can't redeem your fruits. Correct? So maybe Yehuda was always being very strict. Yehuda only said, follow the branches, because they're being strict with you. Right? However, what if you had a case of Ari Miklat, where it will come out of leniency? Right? Find the other case also a kind of stringency. Which means, let's say the tree is outside the Ari Miklat, right, and the branches are inside. What's the halacha? The tree is outside the Ari Miklat, and the tree branches are inside, and you're following the branches. Then you're inside, so you're safe again. So we're being strict on the murderer, on the Kol Adam, that he cannot kill. So that's also a stringency. Fine. However, when you have the fourth case, now the fourth case, this is the fourth case. This is the fourth. What's the fourth case? What's the fourth case?
Fourth case is the trunk's inside, branches are outside.
Oh. Good. Now, the trunk is inside, and the branches are outside. So if you only follow the branches, what should come out? The trunk is inside.
He could be killed.
Oh, he should be able to be killed. Now, that's a very big leniency. To tell me to kill a guy,
inside
the trunk is inside the Ari Mikla, and the branches are outside. So you're telling me, since the branches are outside, he can be killed. Now, that's a leniency. You're being lenient on the Goadam. So who's telling me, who told you to be lenient? That's the wise question. Good? In the case of my Meister, there's always a stringency. Over here, you're coming out to see a leniency. That was the wise question. Good? On Rav Kahana. Good. So, how could Rav Kahana explain to me that the time of our Mishnah, the time of that Braisa, so you came to help us.
Yes.
So, you told you're going to come to us. How could we tell you the time of our Mishnah, the time of our Braisa is Rav Yehuda? But in one of the cases, it's not going to work. You know, whoever told you Rav Yehuda is going to argue in a case of leniency? Which means when you have the case where the tree is inside, right, and the branches are outside, and the guy is standing over here, who told you Yehuda would go after the branches? Right? What's the problem? So why can't you just tell me, fine? So Yehuda won't agree in that case. The problem is our Mishnah and the Braisa say, in this scenario, you still go after the branches. The Mishnah and the Braisa, what does our Mishnah say? The tree is inside. Right? The tree is inside. Branch or outside. Whatever I said. You're asking Eretz. But how can that be that if you're killing a guy, he's in the Ari Mikla, you're going to kill him, or you really hold such a thing? He's in the Ari Mikla. So Weston comes around and says, you're right. If he's really inside, you want to kill him. Yehuda doesn't say to be lenient. It's true. Yehuda will not tell you to kill a guy, but to be lenient, to go after the branches. True for that?
We're
kind of going to say that. We're kind of just told us to review them. We got stuck. We said, what do you mean? How could we review them? So Rav in a way is helping Rav Kahana. He's like, it could easily be an answer for Rav Kahana. He's helping us out. And Rav Kahana doesn't mean, and you can't say that Yehuda would say, in this case, all of you get killed. He's in the Ari Mikla.
But he said,
all the
time, consistently.
So we say, you don't understand those words. This officer is asking you to write to tell me what they're doing. Consistently. Our Mishnah says you go after the nook. So how here if you know you're not going to kill him?
Does it mean this case?
Comes Rav and said it doesn't mean this case. Surprise! It means a whole new case, which means like this. The Mishnah is telling you two different stories, two different halachas. Let's give you one halacha like this. One halacha is right. If the guy is outside, the branches are inside, and we tell you follow the branches. Don't kill him. This tree is outside. The branches are inside. We tell you don't kill him. Correct? Fine. Now in this case, you would kill this guy, but this is a whole new case. The whole new story. The story is, this guy is not standing over here. This is not the story. If the guy was standing here, you're not allowed to kill him. You can never kill him. He's really standing here. The story is like this.
So in that case, what would
Rebbe do? Also agree you can't kill him.
So in that case, he's saying you don't go after the note.
True, you would not go after the note. Coach, correct. You got to realize in this case, we really would agree you don't go after the branches. If the tree is inside and the branches are outside, you don't go after the branches. You don't go after the branches, correct? I thought in this case you're. So when did the Mishnah say that you do go after the branches? Oh, no, good. First of all, Luchomer. First of all, in this case, Luchomer. You go Luchomer that you can't go. But also, it's a whole new story. It's a whole new halakha the Mishnah is saying. If the guy is really standing, he's not standing here. The guy is really standing, he's standing in the branches. He's sitting in the branches, he's relaxing. Right? But the only way to go down to kill him, he doesn't have good aim for him. There's too many rocks and there are trees, he can't shoot him. He's going to shoot
way
him.
Up in the air.
He's way, he can't hit him. So here he says, right here. He said, I'm going to come from right in the air. I'm going to go like this, shoot him from here. The only way possible to shoot him is by stepping on this tree, climbing on the tree, and going boom, and shooting him.
But he can't do that.
So that's the question. It's a whole new question. Nothing to do with the other question. A couple of plumber at a tree. It's a whole new question. Nothing to do with the tree. It's nothing to do with so much. It's not so much to do with the tree filed the branches or not. That's the kind of three shedding is. That's a new one like this. Are you allowed to use a stepping stone in there? Are you allowed to go into the zone and kill him from inside? The Yehuda says, yes. Why? But since these trees are outside, it's legal.
Go after the branches.
Go after the branches. Right. Before you kill him, you send him after the branches. When did the Yehuda say the tree follows the branches? For this halacha. you're allowed to use a tree to target at him, to shoot at him. The Rabbana say no. The tree doesn't follow the branches. The tree there in Ar Mikla. Oh, La Lacha. You're not allowed to go into Ar Mikla to kill the guy. Ar Mikla is a safety zone you have to stay out of, right? Which means even if he's out of the Ar Mikla, you're not allowed to go in and shoot him from there. Nahon, that's a new halacha.
I know I had this question before, but it's still leniency by Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is saying if you go after the Torah goal is that leniency. If you go use the branch, use the roots to kill the guy outside. So you can go inside, use the branches, use the roots to kill the guy outside. Leniency from Rabbi Yehuda. Your answer to me was the whole separate case. It has nothing to do with Qumrah and Kula.
That's what it has to do with Kula. What I mean, it doesn't have to do with Kula and Qumrah. We need to say that it's not required the original place. It's a whole new, we're in a new world. But meaning, what's your question here? Here it's a very simple machlaika. The Rabbana say you can't use this as a stepping stone. And he said, you can't use it as a stepping stone.
Well,
said,
we pull on, pull on, nothing.
You just asked me, and it comes out type one. There's a lot of places where Rabbi Huda is going to be mock, where the Rabbana is going to be make call. I mean, that wasn't our problem.
I said, but everywhere else we were just discussing in this whole sphere had Rabbi Yehuda being only Chumrah in regards to the branches following the tree.
That was, you know, why? It's not that Rabbi Yehuda is not allowed to be lenient. Rabbi Yehuda can do what he wants. When he wants, he wants. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is never allowed to, that's your answer. Rabbi Yehuda is never allowed to be lenient. So
in regards to the branches.
If you were comparing, that's because you were comparing that. If you were kind of comparing, so you can't compare from that case to this case, to apples and oranges. Now saying it's not comparing. The only thing to do is comparing. We're not comparing. It's a whole new halacha. We're not comparing. Why couldn't Rabbi Yehuda say in the case of a kula? Because we were busy comparing from Meister to here. Nachon?
Right.
So if you're comparing, the capacity has to match up. We're not comparing anymore. We're in a new world. I'm saying a new machlokes. There's a new whole new world. Yehuda happens to be Yehuda is make a little bit of a machlokes.
Yeah, but we're only bringing this case in. Only bringing this in to justify our whole machlokes between Meister and.
It's not true.
That's my question.
Unrelated. It's not
why,
true.
What is Rav?
That's Rav's chiddush. It's unrelated.
What is Rav say? What is Rav trying to correct? What is Rav's new
this case
trying to replace and trying to clarify?
Trying to replace that.
That's not, the question.
That's not the same question we talked about before. It's not doing a kind of comparison. I mean, we thought originally the guy standing on the tree, right? We thought the guy's here, right? We thought the guy's standing here, and therefore we don't understand how in the world you kill this guy coming out to lenience. Good. So that means your tree is following this for leaves. Right? You pull this halacha out of Meister. You didn't say it ever. One thing is true, that's not the case. It's a whole new story. Scratch the case. And it's nothing to do with comparison. Meaning, this machlokes is not connected to the other machlokes. It's a new question.
It's a completely new idea.
In a way, it's a new idea. It's a new idea.
What are we doing about Pan?
So I'll tell you, technically speaking, according to Arthur, it's a comeback for Pan. We're saying Pan never meant to say that he's standing here. We thought Rav Hanan meant this case where Yehuda said he's standing here, you're allowed to kill him. So we asked him, it can't be, it's a leniency. It's not true, Rav Hanan never meant that, Rav is saying. Rav Hanan's case is the guy standing here. It's a new question. We're allowed to use it as a stepping stone to kill the guy. So that's not the case. You didn't get the case right. Rav Hanan, of course, he agrees if he's standing here, you can't kill the guy. The case is done, a new case. The case is the guy is going to be in the tree. It's a whole lot.
Are we keeping Rav Kahana's?
Yeah,
keeping Rav Kahana's.
And our mission could be reviewed.
And the fourth case that it came out as a leniency, we're saying you didn't have that case right.
That case, yeah, it was a whole new halacha.
And now we have a whole it's a whole different.
It's a new picture. The guy's allowed to step on the tree to kill him, which could be
and
funny.
Even though it comes out as a kula.
Yes, we don't care. We're not saying a shatzer. Rav Kahana's never allowed to be lenient. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not even a kind of comparison. It's a new world. Meaning. We were kind of compared, which comes out, the cases of Qumrah to the case of Qumrah.
So what does Rav Kahana do with the fact that all the other cases were Kula in regards to Rabbi Yehuda, in regards
were Qumrah
in regards to the location of the branches, and here, it's Kula.
The problem, he could say Kula in some cases and Qumrah in some cases. It's a different shayla, it's a different question. He's saying, meaning just because he said that the tree files the branches in this case, he can say whatever he wants. What's your question? His rule was that the branches follow the tree. Good. Now we said we only knew that only in cases of Qumrah. How can you jump to say he said that in the case of a kula? So we're not making that jump. Rav says it's a different case. We're not deciding that it was a case of the tree. I mean, if we're talking about the guy who's in the tree, before we're always the guy who's in the tree, we're looking at this guy where he's sitting. And we're comparing it to Meister. So in that scenario, you can't compare it to the case of leniency. Now, does this have a case of anything to do with the case of Meister Shani?
No, I guess the guy's using the branches.
The other case, the guy's in the branch, and we want to test the tree follows the branch.
Right.
Here's a new question. The guy's in the branch.
That guy's in the branches, or can you use the root?
Yeah, and from here, for sure, I can kill him. It's a new question. Nothing to do with it. It's a new thing. Rabbi's saying this is part of the branch, this is part of the Mishnah, is a new world. So we're kind of, we don't even compare it. Nothing to do with Rakan. I mean, okay, it's a Chiddush. He's saying the Mishnah is talking two different worlds, but that's what he's saying. It's a different world.
Well, we said that Rabbi is saying the premise that Yehuda is not sure who's in the Safek, what to go after. So,
it's always like that.
In lieu of that, Rabbi is trying to say, well, he's going to go to Chuma, since he's in Safek.
Could be the Mara, he said.
Most of the time, his shots will go up to the trunk. But now here, he's not sure.
Uh-huh. So what's your question?
Rabbi didn't do that. Rav is trying to do that, but comes up with the Akula in one situation, even though he's coming from the premise that he's not sure. We always go to Chum.
That was our problem with Rav.
So
he's sick, but that was our problem with Rav Khan. So how is he helping Rav Khan? That was our problem with Rav Khan.
No, Rav Khan is not saying that. Rav Khan,
what
do you want?
Yeah, but why had a question on him? Why said it doesn't make sense? And why should we do that assessment to him?
So Rabbi Shmuel is saying, no, he's in Safek.
And therefore, what are you answering? But what's your answer? What's your answer?
No, I'm trying to clarify what we're holding, because it's very...
No, but he's explaining, and therefore we need that something thing is not what's changing the shot. I mean, why is that changing the whole shot? Even if we're kind of also totally...
I know, but the problem is really is that Rabbi is showing us the case as a cooler case.
Good.
You know, Yehuda.
Good.
And all the time across the board, the rebel would say, by Maisa Shani, he's going to Chumrah.
Oh, a bunch of shot rebels saying something.
Now, all of a sudden, we have a unique case where in Yer Miklat, in the Yer Miklat case, where the Chumrah.
It's not a
question. Life and death is a cooler. He's a cooler with the Maisa Shani? No.
You're asking a question. How does it make sense that Yehuda should go to Kula and help the Meister Shani?
Especially
Yehuda should go to Chumra, but for Meister, and for Sakas Kafasha, it's called the Kula.
Right.
Why here? Here's a question.
Right.
You're saying what?
For instance, Rav is starting off with a premise that he's not sure, he's in Safek, or Yehuda, so we're going to go to Chumra all the time. So tell us, by the Kula case, we go up to the trunk, really. Like Rav Ashi would say, why does Rav say no in this case?
So you're asking a question on Rav, why Rav said it's a shot. I mean, I asked on Rav. You're asking why Rav should say such a shot. What? I don't know why he should want to say it. Why should he say that? Why should he let people say you're asking in a contrast. You like Rav Ashi's shot better. You're saying it's interesting that Rav should interpret our Mishnah that in case of life and death, also Yehuda is being made. Fine, that's a good question. That's not a question. I mean, right. That's just a question that asks me why. Specifically, why we had a question in Meister. I mean, it's not a question on our Gemara that you're going. I mean, everybody here is asking a different question. That you said Rebbe that has to be the Chumra, and now he's going to Kula. They're asking a different question. It's kind of funny in Rebbe Yehuda that in Hilchas Meister, all of a sudden you go to the Chumra, very very machmir. When it comes to shooting the guy, then you're Meikel. What everything is that? When it comes to life and death, all of a sudden you're Meikel. That has that makes sense. Exactly the reason why you need Rebbe Ashi's pshat. That's what Rav Ashi is going to like about it. I'm not answering for Rav right now. I'm saying that's a good reason why we need Rav Ashi's pshat. Rav Ashi is going to live pshat that he's not as extreme like that. He's not coming out like that. Saying first, I'm not answering for Rav. I'm saying that's a good reason why Rav Ashi would argue at least. At least we see why Rav Ashi doesn't like this pshat. So it's good to understand why Rav Ashi.
Rav Ashi is like Rav's pshat. I mean, Yehuda is technically being Meikel.
Yeah, all of a sudden, in life and death, all of a sudden. Not so much because he's being Meikel all of a sudden. I mean, all of a sudden, life and death. Fine. What? And they've been embarrassed.
It makes sense.
Fine, here's two guys.
So
let's just do Rav inside. Hopefully we'll be able to get to Rav Ashi, hopefully. Let's do Rav inside. One second. Rav Ashi. Two
days with you,
we got to that point. We never got to that point.
That's fine. We'll have to 7 lines up from the Mishnah. See where it says Mishnah? Or you can go like 12, 13 lines from the top, I think. Fine. I'm a rabbi. It says, Be'ikari, right. If the root was inside the Ari Miklat, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you don't kill the guy. If the trunk is in Ari Miklat, even if the branches are outside, Yehuda say you don't kill. But you cover the kuli amalekli. The loy matzi katal, you cannot kill the guy. He's inside, you can't kill him. If he's standing in the branches, the yakal hargoy bechitzim with chariots, you're able to shoot him with arrows or with rocks. So kuli amalekli. Everyone doesn't argue. The matzi katal, you could kill him. He's outside, he's in the branches. Keep pligi, when do they argue? Do they have it when it is ikare, the trunk, the main part of the tree, is dargo le daife. It's a step to get to the branches. So nu machoikas, mar savar, one holds, Rabbi Yehuda holds, have ikare, dargo le daife. The trunk is just a step stool, it's a stepping stone for the branches. That's how you view it. It's not the same machoikas we had earlier if the trunk goes after the tree. Here's a whole new case. In a scenario where the tree trunk is a stepping stone, is a stepping stool to the thing, could you compare it, make a commitment to the tree? It's a whole new machla and a whole new shiloh. So who knows? Yes, you can. Therefore, you could kill the guy. You could use it to kill the guy. You can't say that the ikur is a step. It's a separate entity. And if the trunk is inside, it's inside. It's a whole new machla.
I'm understanding it is the same.
Similar, but it's not the same.
Because Rabbi Yehuda would say, since we go after the no, the trunk is inside, but the trunk is construed as outside because it goes after the no. So just as I can go up and climb up a tree, another tree that's outside to kill the rotzeya, I can do it on this tree also because the trunk is out like a front. And the rabbanan say no.
It's a little bit.
The goal is almost standing inside the go up the trunk. You're inside. It's where you are.
I agree. It's along, definitely along the same lines of a shita. But it's not the same exact machlekes because in the original machlekes we never found him on makula. But it's a new question. It's do you stay a stepping stone? Meaning, Rabbi Tron says it's a new world. It's a new question. He's not stopping saying what we said before, is the trunk part of the branches or not? That wasn't the question. The question, when in a scenario specifically when it's a stepping stone, do you say it's part of the branch? It's a new question. Understand? And instead it's along the same line. You're saying, since you view the whole, it's always... But it's not just because you hold it's part of the tree. It's a new question. That when it's a stepping stone, do you say it's like it's part of the branches? Meaning, it's a new shiloh. Let me ask you a question. In the case where it's not a stepping stone, we said Yehuda agrees, and the guy is sitting inside, you can't kill him. Correct?
You can, yes.
If the guy is inside.
Inside, okay.
Then you cannot kill him. The guy, right? We're saying that's a new question. In a scenario where it happens to be a stepping stone to the outside, and the guy's outside, then you could kill him. Uh-huh. Why? Because the step is part of the branches. Saying stepping up to the branches is part of the branches. But we're not saying that a tree trunk is part of the branches. Understand? And instead you're saying it's along the same lines. You're looking at this piece as part of the branch. There's a new question. You could even hold that a tree is not part of the branches. A tree never follows the branches.
The trunk.
And you could still hold maybe when it's a stepping stone, it is part of the branches. I'm just bringing out a new question. Understand? It's not... I see it falling. He's bending towards that way. It's a new question. That's the reality, right? You could even hold, I'm saying, you could even hold, it's not a steer at all. Usually I'll hold the tree does not go after the branches. But I'll tell you, a stepping stone is part of the branches. So since it's a ladder, it's a new shot, it's a new lump, it's a whole new question that the Rishonim, it's a whole new world. It's like we just brought that, we don't know where this thing came from. It came from, like, we never talked about it. Like the last, before we finished the parak, with the Aramik, we throw in this new chiddush, new world of blah, blah, blah. We bring the first one, halacha, you're not allowed to step into the Aramik, which is also a chiddush. That you're not allowed to step into the army because they kill a guy outside. Right? That's first of all what we see from our Gemara, a new thing which you never knew before. Right? We never heard of such a thing before. We heard the guy, if he's inside, you can't kill him. Right? Rabbi, you ever heard of this halacha? That you're not allowed to go inside? That's also meaning, that's also first of all halacha we knew now. And also, what's the lump? This is a thing. So there's all of Shadow Rabbi. Good? We're almost up to the first Mishnah. We're getting to the first Mishnah on the page. Gemara, yeah. First Mishnah is on the page, yeah, we didn't get to the next Mishnah yet. Alright, sure. Fine. Fine, you have a few weeks. Whoever wants to review this Gemara, you have a few weeks to review this Gemara. Well, that's just okay. Get the sugya. What?
Rav Ashi,
come to Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi, I mean, no. My Achar, I'm saying, no, you know, they make things complicated and make issues. When the prices say you go after the no, if you know what it meant? It meant even you go after, which means what? I'm not telling you in this case to go after the guy. I'm not telling you in this case the guy's here. Although even, meaning if you have a scenario where it comes out of Chumrah, then in that scenario go after the branches. But I don't mean that in this case you should also go after the branches. See, it just means when we say what the Brisa says go after the nof, it doesn't mean in every scenario. We thought it means every scenario go after the branches, right? What do we think? When the Brisa says you go after the branches, it means even if you're inside, right?
Which Brisa?
The bottom of the third.
Okay.
Third Jerusalem. Okay. What do you mean over there? Doesn't mean that in every scenario you're in, you always go after the branch, right? We ask, how could it be if the guy's inside and the branch are outside, you go after the no? The guy's inside, how can you kill him? We ask, right? Saying, actually, don't kill him in this case. When we meant it, we only meant it in this case. We're saying even, which means sometimes go after the no, not in every case. It didn't mean we should go there in every case. We never meant that, you're saying.
That's what Gedalia was kind of saying in a way. In case of killing them, you would go off the note because that's allowing, you're aiming something, an aggressive act, where the case of the Meister is not as passive or it's not dealing with life or death, where if you apply it to your McClot, with the trunk being inside, technically you're aiding or you're allowing this aggressive act of murder to take place.
Huh? Which means if the tree is outside, and the trees are inside.
The branches are inside.
The trunk is outside, the branches are inside. Then we'll say, go after the branches, don't kill the guy. That case we'll say yes. That case, go after the no. Which means even sometimes go after the no. But we don't need to tell you in this case, if you're inside, the branches are outside. We're not telling you then go after the no. We don't mean, a whole bunch of this case makes no sense. This is a cooler. Say, of course, God never meant to say this case. Never meant that. Of course, he didn't mean that. He meant the other way only. He didn't mean this way. Very simple.
But how can you apply the way Rashi says that? It doesn't say, definitely apply the
way Rashi says that. No, the original Rashi said go after the no. See, adding the word ah. We're stuck. It kind of makes no sense. The Rashi makes no sense. You can't tell me you can kill a guy here.
He's saying, how do you derive what you're deriving? He's saying, what about Rashi's for? How do you derive that?
He just said it when the Rashi said it. We're saying, it can't mean you kill this guy. We're saying it's true. And when the Brisa said you go after the no, it means in some case. We don't mean in every scenario. Because you're right, you can't kill this guy. So it means in a certain scenario. But I don't mean in every scenario across the board you kill the guy. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying it means.
Even in a case where the branches are inside, trees outside.
Even then, you go after the no. Which means to be strict on the goal or not. Even then, you go after the no. Which means like this. Really, I'm outside, right? And the branches are inside. Even then, we'll tell you, you go after the branches and we're strict that you can't kill you. Even in such a case. Even though you're outside, since the branches are inside, even then, we'll go after the no for you, we'll help you out, we'll tell you you can't get them.
But
if you're inside, the branches are outside, of course we don't tell you that you're outside now after the branches. Of course you can't get killed. That's what Ashi's
terrorist.
We did a bunch of Gemara just mine. That's just to try to finish your own with Rebuta.